it's like every breath of home has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, brothers.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma.
Amen. And blessings from a cold Wyoming. We went from 68 degrees down to about 32 right now. And looking to get cold tonight, but so fall is here. But looking forward to a good program, and I will let you know when your callers come in.
All right, thank you,
sir. All right.
Appreciate it. And we do welcome everybody to Hope is Alive. We thank you for taking time out of your evening to join us again. And if you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can always go to deliveranceusa.com. Well, information there at that website. A very valuable tool, just there at the click of a mouse or a push of the screen on your phone. You can get just about everything we talk about there. We talk about each evening, each Wednesday evening on that website. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you want that book. He'll definitely get it out to you. It is a great manual to have in your arsenal. And this fantastic tool to help you with the casting out of evil spirits, demons, and Pastor did a great job putting it together. Well, Pastor, glad to see you again, or hear from you again. Here we are another Wednesday, and looking forward to the testimonies, and kind of curious to how this Monday went.
Well, it was a good evening. However, we only had 5 people for ministry, for deliverance. That was rather unusual. We had 18 the week before. One of the reasons may have been the weather.
You must have got them all out of the way.
Well, yeah, maybe we worked our way out of Oklahoma. Right.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, the weather was so nice. That could have been a factor. It was absolutely gorgeous day Monday. You know, the kind you dream about, cool, blue sky, you know. maybe everybody figured out something to do. I don't know. But it was a good evening. Nevertheless, I had a good case, a good average. Ace hit demon up and interrogated it. Went very well. And so it was. I'm on my usual high, and then I had a really interesting case today at the ministry office. A 14-year-old girl from Africa. She'd been adopted here by a couple in here in Oklahoma, but then she'd done really well for the first few years. But then she started having these strange things going on, and withdrawal, and just couldn't hardly speak, and diagnosed as bipolar and some of those things. But we had good ministry, I think. She felt, obviously felt them coming out. I gave her a Bible to touch on herself, and she was touching it from her body from time to time, including one up on her forehead, like the 10-year-old I had last week. He had one up there right in the forehead area of his head. And we put the Bible on it, and it finally blew out. By the way, the 10-year-old from last week is still doing great, the great-grandmother report. So, you know, that's what keeps us going, as we hear these reports.
Praise the Lord. Now, this young girl from, this young lady from Africa, there's no telling the tribal type of curses from all the years of the paganism that goes on in that continent. And it's actually, I'm surprised that it's just now manifesting. So I praise the Lord that her parents or adoptive parents knew about the deliverance and knew how to deal with that, because the world would have just drug her.
Yes, and she also had a spirit guide, or familiar spirit, that had come into her early on, earlier years, that she had been conversing with, hearing its voice. And we had her renounce that today, and again making Jesus number one in her life. But you're right, no doubt there was all kinds of generational stuff coming at her. I came against everything I could think of in the way of curses and witchcraft and voodoo and dolls imaged after her, and shamanism, and just anything that came to me I addressed and spoke to the power in Jesus' name. So I'm believing she's in a way she wouldn't be better, I can tell you that. You know,
anytime
you spend that much time, we went at it 2 hours, and her adopted mother is there and another lady, and yeah, we did it 2 hours. Well, I'm bound to hit something, you know, as I always say, and probably we hit quite a bit, and I think in the next week or two we'll hear some exciting reports.
I believe so too, because no matter what was happening to her as far as generational or the voodoo or any of that, that power is nothing compared to the power that we have, and that's we can come against it. We have authority over it. It's been granted to us, and so praise God that happened. And and I'm looking forward to the testimony on that.
Yes, and by the way, I just texted you the names of those calling
yes.
in tonight.
Yes, I saw that. We were kind of dropping the ball today. We didn't communicate like we usually do, and most of that because I didn't realize what day it was.
Well, it's good you remind me. That does help on a busy day.
That's the way it goes. Sometimes you get to work in, and you don't think about what day of the week it is, and then before you know it, it's about 2 hours before the show when I was taking a walk before sundown, because it's a nice, still nice enough weather for that, and I was thinking, oh, I forgot to text Everett today. So, not as prepared as we usually are, but that's all right. I did say my prayers before we came on. I did ask the Holy Spirit to give us the words to say in that very hour. He'll teach what you ought to say. And that's a good thing to declare. If you're not using that in your life, it's a good thing to declare, especially if you had to go before a witness to others, as well as Luke 10:19. And, you know, that's just another one as well, too.
Yes, I declare both of those many times today, both those scriptures.
Yeah, I try to get Luke 10:19 several times in my prayer life, and you know, I found today, actually I found the past couple days, I've had to use Perish to Thought a lot. I've had some really out there thoughts come in.
Yeah.
We're sitting there like, where'd that come from? And I just say Perish to Thought and they go away, but it's just that's just another tool in our arsenal we have. And if you're not familiar with Perish to Thought, it is a fantastic tool for staying free. You basically enter into a covenant with Jesus that you realize that not every thought that you have is your thought, and some thoughts are the enemy. So when a thought comes that's contrary to what the Word of God teaches us, and generally those will be negative thoughts, they'll be thoughts that that basically come to kill, steal, and destroy your life. And when those come in there, you just say three simple words, Perish to Thought. You come into agreement with Jesus that when you say those words, you're applying the blood of Jesus to that thought to extinguish it forevermore. And it doesn't work. It works 100% of the time when you apply it. I mean, I haven't heard a testimony of anyone who used it and says, no, it didn't work.
Right.
And they may, because of where they are in their walk and their life, they may have to use it a little bit more than some. I remember right after my deliverance, it seemed like there still wanted to be a lot of things that want to come in. Most of that was because I was still dealing with a lot of unforgiveness with somebody. But I had to use it. But you know, the next day I didn't have to use it as much. The next day I didn't have to use it as much. So it is fantastic. So when those strange thoughts come, you realize it's not yours. Yep.
The scriptures say, like in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, right in there, that we are to cast down those thoughts.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing there, and perishing the thought, casting it down, not accepting it, not buying it, but rather buying the Word of God that tells us who we really are in Jesus. That's why that handout of the I Am's that Scriptures for America has, and we have at Deliverance Ministries, those scriptures, just, it's a great grouping of scriptures of who we are in Jesus, and the more you say them out loud, the more they sink into your spirit person to where you really finally acknowledge who you really are in Jesus.
Yeah. Yes. And the great thing about the I Am's is I'll do this often as I'm reading the Word, I'll come across an I Am in the scripture, and I'll stop and say whatever it is as I come across. You see them a lot more in the New Testament than you do the Old Testament, but they're there in the Old Testament. And so it's just another tool to help stay free. It's basically Perish the Thought and the I Am were basically what Jesus was using when he combated the devil when he was being tempted in the desert.
Yeah.
He stood upon the words. He stood upon the Word of God. He stood upon what it is. Yeah, it is written. It is written. And if a thought comes in, it says you're no good, you're worthless, you can say, no, it is. I am worthy because of the blood of I am redeemed. I am going to live forever. I mean, these are things that I say often. Because it does come. I mean, at some point in our life, we're always going to have these thoughts that come to us. Well, you're no good. You're worthless. Look what you did. Here you are. You sinned. And we can sit there and say, I am justified as I've never sinned because of the blood of Jesus, especially when we confess those sins. You know, we know those sins come to our lives. Unfortunately, it's just about impossible to go the day without having some sort of sin in your life. And the enemy will take that advantage and say, look at you. Look what you did again. And that's when you can just say, well, perish the thought, or it is written, or I am, which is all based in the scriptures.
The enemy loves to try to condemn.
Yes. Yes, and we can stand upon it. I am not condemned, because what does the word say? Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And that's a good thing. That's a good one to remember. Pastor, we have Liz. Liz, thank you for joining us.
Good evening.
Hi, Liz. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Everett. How are you?
Well, we're blessed. That was Ralph that just greeted you. He's up in the Branson area, and I'm so excited you called in. Why don't you go ahead, Liz, and just go ahead and give some background on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and the changes you may have seen and any other experiences on deliverance that you'd like to share.
Yes, absolutely. I was first saved whenever I was 12. I didn't really exactly know what it meant, but I knew that that was what I needed. I didn't really necessarily live it as a teenager. And then when I was in my early 20s, the Holy Spirit was really convicting me, and I rededicated my life. And from that point, I was rebaptized and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and have then made Jesus Lord of my life. I first learned about deliverance about 3 or 4 years ago. I was I had received an email from the Charisma publications, and there was a book by John Eckhart that was the Spiritual Deliverance Manual, and it just something in it struck me that I needed to buy it. And I've always been interested in deliverance. I'm in spiritual warfare and the spiritual realm. So I bought the book, and it had some self-deliverance prayers in it. And from that point, like, I started reading books and watching YouTube videos on deliverance, and I'd watch some, like, mass deliverance. And so I slowly started getting some freedom from some strongholds. But because it was, like, mass deliverance, I knew there came a point where I knew I was kind of as far as I could get. I needed some one-on-one ministry. But no one I knew did deliverance. I had no idea where to even go, where to start about meeting a deliverance minister. I live about 3 hours from Oklahoma City. I live almost into the panhandle of Oklahoma. And about a year ago, my mom had a stroke, and she was in Oklahoma City at the hospital, and I was there with her for several weeks. And while I was there, like, now looking back, I know it was the Holy Spirit that led me to just, like, maybe I should just look and see while I'm here if there happens to be a deliverance ministry in Oklahoma City. And I did, and there was. And so I attended one of the deliverance ministries with Everett and on a Monday night. And like I said, that was about a year ago. At that point, like, I was dealing with some depression and some sadness. I mean, just in general, especially, like I said, with everything that was going on with my mom. And I got freedom from that. And then I've since gotten married, and my husband needed some deliverance as well. And I'm like, well, I know where we can go. So even just a few weeks ago, we went back to Oklahoma City and went through a deliverance session through the deliverance ministry there. And I got freedom from some control and some anger issues. I have a lot more patience. I can tell, looking back over the past several years with my experiences with deliverance, that, like, I'm a different person. The feelings that I'd had before, all the thoughts, and, I mean, now I'm free from so much. I can't even describe how different I feel, how much more free I feel, how much closer to God I feel. It's changed my life.
Praise God. And it sounds like,
yeah,
you got a Jesus overhaul, Liz.
Definitely. Absolutely.
You were probably hearing some of the lies Ralph and I were talking about that before you called in, the live program that seems to be on everybody, where these thoughts come into our heads, negative thoughts, defeating thoughts, nobody loves me, I'm the failure in what I do, this will never change, you know, negative things. You were probably hearing some of those.
Oh, yeah.
And we
talked
about how to
absolutely
perish the thought, to cast those thoughts down. And even after deliverance, it seems they still tend to come at us, probably not as bad, but they'll try it. And so as the more you get understanding who you are in Jesus, you probably picked up one of those I Ams that has those scriptures on it. And the more you say those out loud, the more it becomes part of you. I've actually had demons and had demon cases where I was interrogating a head demon, and they would say they're having a hard time with the live program because the person was standing on who they are in Jesus. They were standing on the Word.
Wow.
So, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, that's absolutely true. I do have one of those I Am lists, and like I know, I mean, it just says to read out loud at least 5 a day, and most days I read all of them out loud. It's hard to pick just 5.
Praise God. Awesome. Every time I read them, I want to beat my chest. I've said that many times, but it's so true. You know, we need to remind ourselves, it seems, regularly on who we are in Jesus. Amen.
Yes, amen, absolutely, absolutely. Yes, we have the power.
Have you had any other experiences along the deliverance subject? Is your husband doing better and all?
Yes, he is. I mean, he's had some freedom. I know he still has some struggles in some areas, and I know, like, we're planning to meet with you again, just some deep-rooted things, but, like, it's really nice, I mean, for me, because I was single for a really long time, to be with someone who really understands the importance of, the deliverance and, you know, fighting demons at the root cause, instead of, you know, there's so many people who don't understand deliverance or think that it's not for us, or that as Christians, you know, we don't have demons, and I know those are lies from the enemy that obviously he doesn't want us to be delivered. So he's even talking about, you know, us learning more about deliverance together as a couple, and starting to do it ourselves for other people.
Well, I can see you and your husband Eric setting the panhandle free.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yes, that would be amazing. Yes. Praise God. That would be amazing. Yes, because I know, I mean, I went through, like I said, when I was in Oklahoma City with my mom,
Folks, I guess we lost audio. We'll play a song and be right back.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions.
Oh, there you are.
We can,
there
Liz.
We
are you there?
I'm still here.
Yeah.
Richard, she's back on.
Okay.
There you are.
Yeah, there we go. We lost all the audio, but we're back on. Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
great.
Go ahead.
Oh, how much did you hear me say?
Go ahead, Liz. Well, we were talking about setting the panhandle free, and it's open season, no doubt, up there. Probably nobody, hardly, knows anything about this kind of ministry in Jesus' name up in that western country.
Right. Yes, I mean, it is very important. Deliverance is very important. I mean,
and
the people need set free, you're right.
We keep seeing, all you got to do is look at the 12 o'clock or 6 o'clock news, and you'll see demon manifestations that are happening of people doing weird things that don't make any sense. And you can bet there's a demonic activity behind it. It's hard for us to envision this. Who doesn't have their share? You got the generational door and all these doors that we open. So it's just most people don't know what to do about it and what to do with the problems they've got going on. Well, it was pretty exciting to see your problems disappear there, wasn't it, Liz?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. It was. I mean, to walk away feeling just rejuvenated, like you said, a Jesus overhaul. It was a spiritual rejuvenation. I mean, in feeling closer to God and feeling like, I don't know, he can hear you and that he wants to talk to you. And I think that's something that a lot of Christians don't have or don't believe. And so many people believe that deliverance is not for today, or that, you know, it's not real, or Christians don't have demons. But that's so wrong.
Yes, and that question often comes up: how can Christians have demons? And the answer is very simple: we have three parts. People, when they say Christians cannot have demons, they are not thinking about our three parts at all. Even 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Points out we have a spirit, we have a body, and we have a soul area, that is a mind, will, emotions. And it's quite clear that as a born-again Christian, your spirit man is totally secure in Jesus, and if something happened to the body, your spirit would go to be with the Lord. But where the spirits hang out here on earth while we're all together, they hang out in the body. And it's obvious, they talk out of the person's mouth, people feel a movement in their bodies regularly, and then they're tormented in the soul area, mind, will, emotions, with some very high level. So that's the answer to that when somebody says Christians can't have demons. Have you run into that quite a bit?
Yes. Yeah, I think, I mean, that, like I said, I mean, the Satan doesn't want us to be free from him, obviously. So I think, I mean, that's, like you said, you know, one of those lies that he tells us. I think, I mean, there are, like, I go to a church that does believe in deliverance and, I mean, believes in, you know, the strongholds of Satan. But I think that there's so many people who think that, you know, once you're saved, you know, that's it. But, I mean, they still have problems.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
well, sure.
People still have issues.
And that's why with that two-page problem list that you filled out in Circle, most people could do that and probably circle about three dozen problem areas in their life, and they would ultimately find out that probably the majority of them have a spiritual base that can be dealt with in Jesus' name and cast out, and the problem's gone. Is that a wonderful thing, or what?
Amen. Amen. It absolutely is. It is.
You know how some people...
And people don't think that a lot of the mental health issues or even physical issues or, you know, just, you know, getting angry at their kids, I mean, that's just a part of life. And like you said, I mean, that two-page sheet that you fill out and circle, I mean, even just looking over that is really eye-opening about what really stems from the enemy.
And so many people, Liz, I wonder why they've got this anger, rage problem. Some of them, even after they settle down from even some violence connected with it, they wonder, why did I say, why did I do all that? I didn't mean to do that. But something came up in them. Well, guess what? But you'll hear that very thing quite a bit. I don't know why I did this or that. Well, guess who's pushing it?
Because it's not from God. God's not controlling. The Spirit leads us. Demons that control us.
I see it's so clear to me now, today, why Jesus commanded believers in Mark 16:17 to cast out demons in his name, because most people have got them and very few people seem to be doing it. I, of course, knew nothing about this until I was 44 years old. I could have missed it altogether. It seemed like an accident that I learned about it. It was probably wasn't an accident. The Lord was coordinating. But I could have missed it very easily, and the average Christian, but just like I was, I didn't have any idea until I actually saw demons talk out of a Christian's mouth and say they were, you know, demonized. I mean, the demons there was of Satan when I saw that, and that's when it soaked in. It's real, and then I wanted to learn about it. So a lot of people need to see that kind of thing to believe it. I was kind of in that category myself, and it's all we can do to get the word out, but that's why we're on the show tonight.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, do you have any other experiences you'd like to share in the remaining 3 minutes?
I mean, not really. Like I said, I mean, for me, it was kind of a slow progression before I came to you. But, I mean, just every time I would, you know, do some self-deliverance or, you know, read prayers or something like that, and every time I felt a little bit freer, I mean, that in and of itself for me was proof enough, just even feeling better of knowing that deliverance is true. I mean, the Bible talks about it, that it's, we need to get the word out because Christians are living in bondage, and they don't have to be.
And as you kept feeling better, you realized you were on the right track.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, go ahead.
No, just, go yes, ahead, that's Liz. Absolutely true. I mean, it's on the right track.
Well, what would you say in the remaining time here, what would you say to the listeners? Anything else you'd like to say to them before we sign off?
I would just say that if you have any questions about it, or if, you know, you're unsure about it, just go through it, because it's not, it's literally just prayers. I mean, it's just, you know, putting yourself in alignment with the Word of God. It's not, you know, superstitious, or it's not, you know, forced on you. That just try it and just see how much better you'll feel, and then you'll be, then you'll believe it.
And your deliverance, Liz, was not like the movies, what they put out. It was pretty low-key, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, just some yawning and coughing. It wasn't, you know, throwing myself on the floor or anything like that. It was very low-key.
Praise God. Well, blessings to you, Liz. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Great to have you on. Great testimony.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good evening. As you're talking about, I mean, a perfect example, you think that, you know, once you repent and reach that point of salvation in your life, a lot of people think that's it. And that's not what the Scripture teaches. And there's just so much more to it. It's a life that you have to walk, and a lot of times that life is hard to make that walk because of the oppression that comes on us, the oppression that's there from generational curses or whatnot. I mean, the scriptures were not written to the unbelievers. They were written to believers. So all those remarks in there about, you know, casting down the thoughts, Satan looking for someone to devour, resist the devil, all those were written to churches, the believers. The Ecclesia is about one. And if they had to do it in, you know, the apostles' time, they have to do it now. So, well, Pastor, we have Larry. Larry, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure.
Yeah. All right, Larry. I'm glad you called in. Larry's way up there in Ohio. Is it cold up there, Larry?
It is a little bit chilly. It's the temperature gauge says it's 50 degrees.
Well, it's not too bad. 70 down.
No, there. Not too bad for dark.
Right.
What is it?
Well, Larry, go ahead and give some history on yourself and how when you were born again, how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and any changes you'd seen and any experiences you'd like to share. Go right ahead.
Okay. My name's Larry Cook. I'm 34 years old. I grew up in Beckley, West Virginia, and I was raised by my mom and my grandma. I didn't have any dad or any grandpa in my life. It was all women in my life, mom and grandma, and I had both my grandmas, and I had a younger sister. Mom raised us up in church our entire lives. We grew up in a Church of Christ. To anybody that doesn't know what a Church of Christ is like, it's a very strict church in the way that they believe, and I definitely grew up believing their ways. That was all that was taught to me, and I really believe that, I honestly believe that the Church of Christ were the only people going to heaven. But thanks to my mother-in-law, I learned different than that. I really praise her for her teaching her kids different. Even though my wife grew up in the same church too, my mother-in-law always told her kids that church wasn't the only way to heaven, and one day that finally unlocked in me. Me, my wife, her two brothers, and her sister, we all traveled to a different church one day when her parents were on vacation, and that was the beginning of changing my life. To say when I was born again, you mean, like, when did I give my life to Jesus, right?
Yes, water baptized.
Well, I would say that's happened more than once. I've definitely dedicated my life to the Lord more than once and slid back and regretted it and hated myself for it. But right now, there's a lady in Oklahoma that she adopts children, and she's a wonderful woman. I can't express how wonderful of a person she is. I don't know how she even knew that we needed her so bad, but out of the blue, she travels from Oklahoma. Well, my wife's sister lives there. That could have been part of the inspiration, but she traveled all the way here to Ohio from Oklahoma just to tell me and my wife how bad she wanted us to come and live with her and she wanted to adopt us. I call her mom now, and just things are really changing because of her and her family. I don't know how God does it, but he's changed my life, or changing my life through her. And I've been reading in Luke, there's a parable that, I got it on my phone here, but he said there was a fig tree. He said, for 3 years I've come to bear fruit or to get fruit off this fig tree and haven't got any yet. And he said, cut it down. And the servant, I guess, said, why don't you give it one more year? Let me dig around it and fertilize it, and let's give it one more year. And I feel like that's me. I feel like I can't have too many more chances, and this is the time that I want to stay with the Lord. But how I found deliverance was through the lady in Oklahoma I call Mom, the lady that adopted us. I would say she almost tricked me, because I didn't know really what I was getting into. She asked me if we would go to this deliverance program with her, and I thought, well, yeah, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And so we drove for 2 hours there. We got there a little bit late, but we made it. I'm a firm believer in better late than never. And we got there, and I have to honestly say that from my upbringing, I didn't right off want to believe the things you were saying. At the deliverance meeting, you had said that you all had the power to cast out evil spirits and had the power to heal people. And I was always taught that that stuff wasn't true. Well, not that it wasn't true, but that people weren't able to do it anymore. And in the beginning of the deliverance there, I sort of struggled with believing that that was really going to take place. But you spoke there, Everett, and told us about your life and just told us different things that you had been through. And then you had us go through the prayer. And I tell you, the biggest part that touched me was when you asked, well, when you were real firm that we really had to go through our entire lives and forgive everybody that we held something against. And I don't know why, but there were so many people that kept coming to my mind that I just needed to announce to the Lord that I forgive them and I forgive myself. And I guess then, during that prayer, you gave us 10 minutes. You left the room for 10 minutes and gave us 10 minutes to spend time just forgiving others. And that part of it is when I really started to open up. And you came back in and you broke us up. There weren't enough ministers there that night. So me and my wife were both put into a group with Chris. I don't know his last name exactly, but we were in a small group with a minister named Chris. And it was wonderful. He went through us one at a time and asked why we were there, more or less. And we all told him what we really had that we wanted to let go of. And he went through another prayer there with us. And you said that the enemy would come out of us in the form of yawns. It could come out in the form of yawns or burps. And it was amazing how many times that I had deep yawns during the prayer that Chris led there. And burps. The first yawn, I tried to hold back. I thought, oh no, 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 no. But it was amazing how I felt during that prayer. I really felt something change inside of me. And then after the prayer, he asked if we had anything, like any pains, anything's going on with us. And I definitely had thought about my neck hurt, like, because I've had a issue in my neck for years and years and years, and it definitely crossed my mind, but I wasn't going to raise my hand. But there were three other people in the class that did. Two different ladies said they had arthritis, and the second lady in particular, she had a bad limp. And Chris prayed hard for her, and she said that she had no pain in her ankle after he was done praying for her. And then the next guy had a real bad leg issue, and he asked for Chris to pray, and after Chris prayed for him, he said that there was no pain in his leg, and I want some of that. And Chris had me stand up, and all he did was just put his hand on my neck and pray and pray and pray to God. And I felt like the whole room was praying there with me. And I really was in doubt about this. But after he was done praying, I really had to claim that I didn't feel that kink in my neck anymore. But I really wanted to doubt that. I almost didn't want to believe that that worked. But then I slept on it that night. And the next morning when I woke up, I knew that it was different. I knew that Jesus, through Chris, miraculously touched the top of my neck, and I called the ministry back. I immediately thought of when Jesus healed those lepers, and he told them to go show themselves to the priest, and one of them, as he was going to the priest, realized that he was healed and wanted to come back and thank Jesus, and I mean, I thanked Jesus over and over that morning, but I wanted to call back and thank your ministry for unlocking that in me, because that was something that I wasn't going to believe until it really happened to me. And so that, the whole ministry was just amazing. I hope I said something that can help somebody there.
How exciting is it, Larry, to find out that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and a day is but a thousand years is but a day, and what went on in the days of Jesus is still going on today, including the power that he used is now being given to us as a power of attorney. We are to do the same works. He commanded us, in fact, to do his same works in his name. How exciting is that to find out?
Oh, it's amazing exciting. I still reread the verse that you gave us on the piece of paper, Luke 10:19, about behold, he's gave us the power to trample on serpents and scorpions and all authority over the enemy. Nothing can be in our way. I'm not saying it exactly right, but I keep that paper with me. I haven't let that paper out of my pocket since the ministry. It is amazing. It's very amazing.
Well, that's what drives us all on. If we never heard any good testimonies, we'd have quit long ago, but the fact we hear them, it pushes us on. I had told Chris, his last name is Davis, that you would be on tonight and text him about it, so hopefully he remembered to tune in. Well,
oh, sure.
Are you wanting to kind of learn how to do this now?
Well, you know, I'd really like to come and sit through the deliverance again. I really want to learn better how to make sure I keep doors shut. Like I said, I've dedicated my, well, I've never really strongly dedicated my life to the Lord, I guess, because I've fell short so many times. But I'd like to sit through deliverance again when we get back out there and really work to keep doors shut and just learn as much as I can. Oh, I'd love to be able to help others like that. Don't get me wrong, I'd love to. I would like to get myself a little bit better before I would say that I could help somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Well, sure, and of course, as we all quickly learned, it's not a gift area at all. It's normal Christianity to do these things in Jesus' name. We can teach any Christian to do deliverance and to do it well, especially with the steps we've learned to do over these years. And so that's what's neat, that all Christians, since we were commanded to do it anyway, and we've had enough practice now. I've been at it 41 years now. And, you know, it's like anything, you keep doing it, you ought to get better and learn a few things, and we have. And we've got the program down those steps to where any Christian can learn to do them. And the majority of people will fit into those steps rather well. So, yes, when you get back down here, plan on coming back up. We'll work that out for you, Larry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That sounds wonderful.
How'd your wife do in her deliverance?
Oh, she did real well as well. She had different things on her heart than I did, but she really enjoyed it. My wife is epileptic. She was also prayed for. It's not something that we've proven was prayed away or anything right yet, because it's not a common problem that she has. It's not like a reoccurring every night kind of thing. But she was prayed for as well, and I like to believe that we haven't seen that she's had a seizure or anything since then, so we'd like to believe that problem's over with, just because how sure I am that problem in the top of my neck is over with. Jesus, through Chris,
well, amen,
healed me. I so I'm a believer in that. I'm still working up the courage to tell my mom. My mom won't believe it, and I don't know exactly how to get her to yet. I got to get her out there for deliverance, too.
Well, a testimony is a way to tell it. You know, nobody can argue with the testimonies. And, by the way, we've seen many, many people set free from seizures. In fact, I have one CD. I think there's five or six testimonies on there off an old radio show I used to do here in the city of people I interviewed that have been set free from seizures. It's all part of the process, and there can be spirits causing that. It can be other things, too. It can be chemical. It could be some physical trauma that a person's had. But our Jesus is also in the healing business. So whatever it is, we can see people set free, and she may very well be free now.
Very well may be. There is something I wanted to just now say. I meant my biological mom when I said that I want to get my mom out there to see deliverance. The lady that has adopted us, oh, she's wonderful, and she has been through your ministry, I think, more than once, and she would be a leader in the ministry right now. So I just wanted to correct myself. I got two that I call mom. One, my biological mom, and the mom that adopted me. That's changed my life. But okay, now you can go ahead. Yeah. I just wanted everybody to know the difference.
You're talking about Gail. You're talking about Gail.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I've known Gail for decades, it seems like, and she's brought people that she's adopted up to us for a number of years for ministry. But yes, she's quite a woman and an amazing ministry that she has. Well, anything else you'd like to share in the remaining minutes that comes to you, Larry? Any other experiences on deliverance?
Hello?
Yeah, I think he disconnected. He tried to call back, so maybe he's got bad service. Here he is again. Let's try it again. Larry, are you there?
Hey.
There we go.
I'm sorry. I've got the worst service at home. I must have moved wrong.
Okay. Well, I have kind of forgotten what we were talking about. Now, we're talking about Gail. That's what it was, and what a wonderful woman she is, and her fantastic ministry of adopting people and children that no one else would adopt in some cases. And she brought me quite a few through the years up to deliverance ministries for deliverance. Well,
sure.
The remaining couple of minutes, anything else, Larry, you'd like to share or tell the people that are listening?
Oh, I guess I would say if there's anybody out there that's just crying out for help, this is a small group that is more than willing to reach out and help somebody. I didn't realize how much I needed the help until I was tricked into coming there, and I wouldn't replace that for anything. The deliverance ministry was amazing for me and my family, and I would just encourage anybody, if just anybody that's seeking to know Jesus better, seeking to clear their heart, just, anybody, anybody. Even if you've been a Christian for a long, long time, the deliverance ministry is worth setting through, worth going to, and worth learning more about. I'm not sure. I wish I had better words. I would love to be able to help somebody with something I had to say tonight, but...
Oh, I'm sure it's a great testimony you've shared and what it's done in your life, Larry, and that's the key again. Nobody can argue with those testimonies when you tell it. And so thank you so much for sharing all that, Larry, and we'll look forward to you coming back down to Oklahoma soon. God bless you, brother.
Yes, Larry, you know, Jesse is a good way to get a family member that you want to know your testimony is this show will be archived, and Everett can give you the links to that on how to how to obtain the archives. It'll generally be up by next week. And just remember this, remember your date you came on, and just go to the archives and find that date and have it played for your mom or other family members that do that. And they can hear the joy that's in your voice. They can hear the testimony of the person before. They can hear whatever Nye talked about before we came on. Because I understand the Church of Christ because I have a Church of Christ background. And there's a lot of wonderful, wonderful truths that are within Church of Christ. But whenever we box in the Lord to a denominational way of thinking, all we've done is box ourselves in to a way of thinking. Our God is bigger than the Church of Christ. He's bigger than the Pentecostals. He's bigger than the Methodists. He's bigger than all those. And there's truths in all of them, and we need to seek out truth. And the truth is, Jesus said these things were for then, and he says they are for now, and Christians would, just like it says in as they're to baptize, they're also to cast out evil spirits. And baptism is just as much for today as it was then, and so is to cast out spirits today as it was for then.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I definitely learned fundamentals in the Church of Christ, but I didn't have my eyes really opened until I stepped away from it. So I got to give my biological mom everything for putting into me that God is put first, at least on Sunday. I mean, if she did anything, she put it in my head that do not miss church. And it was a good upbringing, but as I got older and realized that there was more out there, that was just amazing. And I wish that for anybody in the Church of Christ, that they could realize that there is a lot more outside of that box.
Yes. Well, it sounds like she did a good job laying the foundation with you, and that's all part of where to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of that is that sometimes we have to put away the baggage, the denominational baggage that comes, and grow and search things out. But Larry, we do really appreciate you coming on. It was a wonderful testimony. You can hear absolute joy in your voice. Stand upon that promise on your neck and the epilepsy with your wife. These words: by his stripes, I am healed. You stand upon those when the enemy tries to lie to you, and just stand upon those that truth and declare that daily. And we do thank everybody for joining us this evening. We will see everybody next week. We are so grateful that you could spend this evening with us. Again, if you have any questions about deliverance, go to deliveranceusa.com or get the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Good evening, everybody. God bless, and we'll talk to you later.
God bless, everyone.
Hey, thanks again, Everett. Well, and we'll see you all next time.
Hey, bye-bye.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.